All right, as we are, we do have quorum, and I want to be respectful of people's time. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Could I have Stephanie do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hand over your heart, or if you're a service member, you may salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. All right, can we have a council roll call?
Sure. Vladimir Anderson?
Vladimir Anderson, present.
Eric Duane?
Present.
Alexis Federico?
Present.
Alexander Gonzalez?
Present.
Alex Maslin? Robert McDonald?
Here.
Mario Munoz? Stephanie Wade?
Here.
We do have a quorum, Chair.
All right, fantastic, thank you.
Eric, is that a Marine Corps thing, all present?
All present, I think so.
Copy.
I think it's pretty much everybody. So let's move into public comment. This time, we'll allow any members who have public comment to speak. Do we have any public comments?
So we do have a number of attendees that joined us this afternoon. If you wish to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Once again, if you wish to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. All right, we have one that has wished to speak. I'll go ahead and unmute. Nalini, you are unmuted.
Hi, thank you so much. Turn my video on too. I just wanted to share, I'm speaking from the Orange County Museum of Art, and this Saturday we are having a special event for our military members and their families to join us. The event is called Make Art, See Art, or sorry, See Art, Make Art. So we'll sort of be guiding guests through looking at some artworks and then an art making activity. You can find more information about it by going to OCMAExpand/RSVP. I can put that in the chat.
Can you say that one more time?
So the site, if you wanted to learn more, is OCMAExpand, so OCMAExpand/RSVP. And if you have questions about it, you can email info@ocma.net.
Awesome. And I know that Vladimir is chair for events, or he's one of them, co-chair. So hopefully you're capturing that information. And please put that in the chat as well. That would be fantastic.
And I'll just add to, it is totally free to attend, and there is limited space, so do RSVP as soon as you can.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? Please raise your hand at this time. Doesn't look like anyone else is requesting to speak.
All right. We're going to table item 5, as that speaker has asked to hold off for that guest speaking engagement. We'll move right into information items. Sunburst Academy, is Alex here? Yes, he is. So I'll let Alex take the floor for that. I see the floor to you.
All righty, thank you. So several of us went out and toured the Sunburst Academy. So if they're listening, big thank you to Dina Ishmael and Major Sanchez for hosting us. It was a great visit, and I'll try to keep some of the details, or too many of the details, out and just talk more about how veterans can get involved with the program. But I would encourage everyone to check out the academy. It's awesome. They seem to be doing some great work. It's an educational academy for at-risk youth to get them caught up and back into their homeschool district.
So just getting to the computer. Great.
Can someone mute Ben? Thanks.
Okay, sorry. I wanted to make sure someone wasn't asking the question. All right. So the big takeaway for the veteran side of things is that every student, every kid that attends the program for 5.5 months is required to have a mentor, both in the time that they're attending the academy and then also for 12 months after they complete the program. And at least for those of us that visited, it seemed like a no-brainer for some veterans to get involved in that mentorship program. So if anyone is interested in that, the website for the academy is sunburstadmissions.com, and there's a tab right on their homepage for mentoring, and there's an application process or an application to fill out to start the process, and then they do some vetting to make sure they're getting quality mentors, and they do a background check and then make sure that whoever's signing up is committed to the program, and then they pair them up with one of the students. So that was a something that we took away that veterans could get involved in. And the second thing was they also are always looking for community service opportunities for the students. So another thing that seemed like a no-brainer was any veterans events that are occurring that are looking for volunteers. Could be something as simple as setting up chairs and tables for an event and taking them back down when the event's over. They would love to send kids out to help with stuff like that and get them involved in the community. Sorry, one more thing. As far as the staff that works there, it is staffed partially by reservists, military members in the National Guard that are on active reserve duty. So if anyone knows anyone that was looking for an opportunity to continue their service in a reserve status, but more on a full-time basis, but probably a less traditional role as far as the military is concerned, but it's a way that someone can continue their service and keep acquiring service years for retirement. So that was something that Major Sanchez was talking with us about as well. And unless you have anything else, sir, that's probably all that's fit to print.
Well, I think there's more than that. I'd love to dovetail or piggyback on your comments. So I went as well, and Elena was there with us as well. We got a full extensive visit of the location. We got to interact with students on site. It's an absolutely phenomenal program, which I've driven past a number of times doing things on Joint Forces Training Base LaSalle, but wasn't fully aware of the potential that place has. Predominantly, it's open to Orange County residents, but because a lot of OC folks don't know about it, they do get a preponderance of their students from LA County. Now, when Alex is at-risk youth, we're not talking felons, all right? They're not even eligible for the program. These are students that are not showing up for school anymore. They're delinquent, they're truant. And this is a great program that ties them in, gets what so many of them need to be disconnected from family and assuming familial responsibilities typically pushed on to older children in a family so that they can focus on themselves, improve themselves through education and having discipline. And it was an absolutely fantastic program. It's something that, and I think, you know, speaking on this, that Chairman Hahn had started this idea a little bit over a year and a half ago when he was a council member, but he wanted to seek, you know, we always ask, you know, have we helped a veteran today, right? But our veterans are such a value to the community. We have plenty of things we can give back to, not that we haven't given plenty, all right? But we have lots of talent, skills, abilities, the ability to mentor youth and things of that nature. And this is a program that it seems like an easy fit. So when the question is asked, you know, what can Orange County veterans continue to offer to their community and help to build it and reinforce it and strengthen it? I think this is a great program for that. And I have no more to say other than it's, again, a fantastic program. I was impressed. Alex, how about you?
Yeah, I was, frankly, a little ashamed that I didn't already know about this program because right. it is such a great opportunity. And in the short time we were there, you know, it's hard to describe so in real quickly the amazing change it seems like most of those kids are going through while they're there.
Fundamental changes, absolutely.
The mentor yep. is, the school is set up to the kind of discipline setting. And so all veterans that have gone through some type of boot camp or other type of schooling can directly relate to that kind of stuff that these kids are going through and get them through that so that they can start bettering their lives and building some good discipline and some good life skills. So I think it's an easy no-brainer for veterans to get involved in that. And yeah, to echo what you said, it seems like a phenomenal program. And one thing they asked is that we spread the word because they're always looking for more applicants, more kids. They said as well is that it is totally free to everyone that attends. So,
yeah, especially from Orange County. We're looking for, and I know that Santa Ana School District is a possibility. Ophelia was there from Supervisor Doe's office. Obviously, Elena was there, which is fantastic, having direct representation. But there's a number of opportunities for veterans and other folks and reserve, those who are on reserve duty too. But thank you for that, Alex. Any questions?
May I chime in?
Absolutely. Please.
I was just going to say that I've toured several times. I wasn't able to make this one, but I've been to La Salle and seen the cadets pre-COVID several times. And one of the things that's really impressive is the educational attainment that they get. On average, they're getting students to make, you know, 2, sometimes 3 years of ground in reading and about the same in math. And that sounds unreasonable to some people. Like I've been with elected officials who sort of cast aspersion or they're in shock. But as I told them, I was a teacher at a continuation school where we got the same kinds of kids and they made big gains, like 6 months gains or a year gains. But what they can do so much more at that school where there's no distractions and the kids are really focused is really incredible. So they do a great educational job. And the last thing I'd also say is when we're thinking about things that they could do to volunteer, they have a terrific color guard program. In fact, they have several.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
You know, they're on point, probably better than some of the college ROTC units.
Yeah, Major Sanchez made it a point where, you know, he said, if you know of community programs and you need bodies, these kids literally fight each other to get, you know, these slots. If it's going out to pick up trash on the beach, they don't care. They want to be involved in the community. They want to help. Absolutely fantastic. And then one thing that we didn't mention is right next door is a continuation of the program through vocational training. So they could get, you know, CCNA certified networking trades. They have trades training there through LBCC, Long Beach City College. And it's a great program that they can continue on. So it's a 5.5 month program initially, but there's another additional continuation for 5.5 months. And the way that they get feeders for those seats are they have to be a Sunburst graduate and they have to still be in a good way. A lot of times when they go back home and the outside influences start to creep back in, it creates issues. But the ones that are disciplined enough to be able to manage that are typically invited back or encouraged to come back for vocational training. That way they can go straight into a job post high school. So I think that it's easy to see that all three of us that have been there and I don't want to ask anybody else. Elena, if you could share too, that would be great. But it's a very amazing, it's an amazing school. It's a great program. They do have, you know, they do a lot to dispel the myths too. So again, no felons, right? We say at-risk youth, but these aren't kids that are breaking the law. These are kids who will have non-traditional roles in their household where they are the, you know, that second breadwinner of the family trying to help keep clothes and a roof over their brothers and sisters' heads or whatever. And additionally, I think that, I'm out. I'm speechless. Sorry. Got a little verklempt there. It's a great program.
I can jump in, Eric. So
thank you.
Just to share, you know, we got to tour basically three classrooms. So the first one was an all
women's cadet group. The second was all male. And then the third was a library group. And I think the library group was the most interesting to me because, as Eric and Alex mentioned, these kids are really cut off from outside distractions intentionally, purposefully. They don't have cell phones, they don't have text messages, which means they don't have TikTok, they don't have Facebook, they don't have Instagram. So I've never walked into a library group and seen so much enthusiasm. I loved that they told us that one of the favorite books of the boys was Twilight. And these kids were like literally jumping up and down, just sharing their excitement for the opportunity to read, because they go through different phases within their training. And depending on which phase they're at, they have limitations on how many books they can check out and what types of books they can check out. And I mean, when is the last time that anyone has seen kids super excited, even yelling out, you know, about the books that they were reading, big smiles on their faces? So that was something that you don't see every day.
Very enthusiastic. And there were some of the kids that were in the library, I remember, that, you know, they had never read a book in their life until they came to the Sunburst Academy. And item of note, Elena did throw her husband under the bus, saying that he read Twilight before she did. So I do recall that.
That is true. And now everyone knows. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. Hey, we're all family here. Let's see. So I think that's it. If there are any further questions, on item 6, Summer's Visit? Some great information from folks that know about it. If you are looking for that possible volunteer gig, I mean, it's a great program. The volunteer program is, I believe it's, correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, but I think it's around a 17-month commitment, because you mentor them.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's like a 17-month commitment. So almost, just call it a 24-month commitment that you're committed to this youth, because you're coaching and mentoring them after they get out. You're trying to help them out. So fantastic and worthwhile program. There are no further questions. We'll move on to item 7, executive committee report. I would, let's see, at this time, we have elections coming up. So I'd like to create an ad hoc committee and nominate Alex Maslin as the elections chair. Alex?
Works for me.
Okay.
So that means that any nominations for AUCVAC elections should be directed to Alex starting after this meeting and through June. And then elections will take place in July, and that will start the new term.
All right, fantastic. So if you, you know, are interested in sitting as chair or co-chair, go ahead and get that nomination into Alex. Thank you, Alex, for taking that task. Greatly appreciated.
No problem.
Other than the Sunburst Academy, which I could go on about, but I won't. That's all I have to report at this time. So we'll go ahead and move on to Erica.
Thank you, Chair Duane. So before I move into the office updates, I just wanted to address the email that Bobby McDonald sent to the council a few weeks back regarding the past chair position. So we consulted with county council and just had them you know, take a look at that again. So I wanted to share the response that council provided. And that is that the bylaws state that the executive committee shall be comprised of immediate past chairperson of the AUCVAC. So according to the Black Laws Dictionary, immediate is defined as number one, occurring without delay or instant, not separated by other persons or things, and having a direct impact without without an intervening agency. So the bylaws only provide authority to include the immediate past chair president as a member of the executive committee. And because David Hahn is no longer part of the AUCVAC, there's no immediate past chair. If Mr. McDonald would like to include a second to most immediate past chair on the executive committee, he would be inserting words into the bylaws that aren't there. So if OCVAC or the Board of Supervisors wanted to provide for the second to most immediate past chair or anyone else to step into the shoes of immediate past chair in the event of a vacancy, then we would have to insert language to that effect into the bylaws. So if we wanted to include something to the effect of immediate past chairperson of the OCVAC, or if unavailable, we could fill in the title of the person that would be stepping in or might be elected through that special process. But because the OCVAC bylaws don't provide for such a scenario as they're currently written, we have to live with them as they are today. But we could definitely take a look at that for future revisions. Any questions, concerns? And just as a reminder, emailing communication for all of OCVAC could be a violation of the Brown Act. So we definitely want to steer clear of that when possible. Any other questions or concerns regarding that issue? Make sense? Okay. So moving on to the VSO office updates, I just wanted to share, it's been an extremely busy time. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to take a look at the last edition of the Big Voice newsletter, but it was an extremely busy month in terms of the number of claims that were filed. We had 777 claims filed in a 1 month period, which is about double our monthly average from this time last year. So very busy. But, you know, I think it's a testament to the new hires, you know, really picking up the claims processes. They're feeling more and more comfortable, you know, going through that interview process with the veterans and packaging the claims to be filed, and they're learning from their peers. So to that note, I just wanted to share, because Orange County has entered into the yellow tier, we're starting to talk about reopening of government offices. So we are now doing a Team A and B schedule for VSO staff. So Team A is actually in the office starting this week, and they'll be on that schedule for 2 weeks while Team B continues to telecommute. And then after 2 weeks, they'll rotate. And the nice thing about this particular schedule is that we've been able to divide up the claims reps between experienced claims reps as well as the new hires. So they're kind of learning from each other. They're really finding that in-office time really valuable for that peer-to-peer learning. And so we were, you know, very, Elena was very thoughtful about who was going to be on what team and kind of establishing a team lead and mentor for some of the new hires. So it seems to be working well. It really won't change much the experience of the clients because we're still appointment-based primarily, except for those urgent situations. We do have appointments scheduled out, I think about 4 to 5 weeks. And of course, if there's, you know, an immediate need, we can get them in much sooner. And then for the DMV designation, we're about 1 to 2 weeks out for those types of appointments. So the other thing I just wanted to mention regarding staffing, we have been relying heavily on temp help for our front desk functions. And we were able to just now hire a full-time office technician, which will be stationed at the front counter. That will help facilitate some of these DMV appointments, some of those urgent appointments that just need someone to be greeted, screened, and then, you know, connected with a claims rep. And then also the office tech is responsible for calling all of the veterans that have upcoming appointments just to remind them and make sure that we've got all their documents on file and so on and so forth. So the new office tech, her name is Serena Moore, and she's going to be starting next Friday. So hear that, or if clients call in, they'll be connecting to Serena. Also wanted to share that we have been partnering with the Dale McIntosh Center for Independent Living on Aging and Disability Resource Center grant funding. We have gotten a good portion of grant funding to the tune of about $500,000 over the next 3 years. But in addition to that, the ADRCs have also been funded with CARES Act funding, as well as have been able to carry over any unspent funds from last fiscal year. And because of the pandemic, we haven't been spending at the rate that we originally projected. So what this all amounts to is that because veterans are eligible to be served under the ADRC grant, we have developed two positions that will be veterans call agents, because so much of our business is happening over the phone these days. As it's designed right now, they call into a general OC Community Services call center. And then if it is veteran specific or they have questions about an appointment, a message is sent over to the Veteran Service Office and then they receive a follow-up call. Sometimes this can go back and forth a few times before we can connect with the client because they don't always answer our callbacks. So we want to provide a little bit more veteran-specific customer service and be able to have that specialty within the call center. And so we are able to use some of this grant funding to fund two full-time positions. They will be Dale McIntosh Center employees. That's the quickest way that we can onboard this without having to go through a county employment process. But they will be stationed in our call center and they will have the knowledge and the capacity to be able to provide veteran-specific information without having to go through a general phone tree. So that we're slated to start those positions in July with the new fiscal year. So we're working with Dale McIntosh on those job descriptions and advertising for those positions. That's all I have.
That's fantastic information. So question, Erica, are you on team A or team B? I see you're in an office today.
I'm team A and B.
That's the right answer, right?
Yeah. Good.
Awesome.
I'm team every team.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for that report. So let's see, moving on to our next item. We'll go with Ben Gales, if he's available. Is he gone? Looks like he's gone. Oh, no, there he is. Sorry, Ben.
No problem. Thank you, Chairman Duane. Apologize for the noise earlier, but bizarrely, my mute option was not there when I first logged on, and I figured maybe that means I couldn't make noise, and I guess that was not true. So that was a learning experience, but good to see everyone. I wanted to start by taking a minute just to recognize some contributions by people in Orange County to some CalVet statewide activities. First, I had a chance to play a supporting role yesterday in a webinar on legal services for veterans. And the president of Veterans Legal Institute, Antoinette Balta, made a significant presentation on a wide range of legal issues affecting veterans, especially related to the pandemic. One of her big focus areas was on rental payments and moratoriums on evictions with delayed rental payments, legal issues arising from that, and actually some issues related to the new rights of landlords to collect payments and be able to evict that are coming up fairly soon. So definitely some issues there and a lot of other stuff too. It's the third time we've done that webinar, had over 200 veterans view that. And we have just a whole host of these webinars going on right now. Just had one on financial literacy last week. And then kind of the more, you know, usual topics that one would expect related to veterans benefits, accessing benefits, healthcare. So really some great stuff there. Also wanted to report that the CalVet Leadership Summit is going forward in person, and that's going to be from June 6th through 9th, so everyone's very excited about that. And Bobby McDonald will be representing Orange County very nicely. He'll be making a presentation on the topic of equity and access to benefits and services, so very excited about that. And should be a great summit this year. And then finally wanted to report on a big focus area of the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative, which is the Ask the Question campaign. So this is a big year-long campaign, and a lot of work has been done to recruit agencies to participate. But now we've kind of come to where the rubber meets the road in terms of trying to get as many agencies as possible to actually put the questions on their intake form, which is essentially about asking if you or a family member has served in the military. And so it's going okay, but I thought I would highlight it because to the extent that anyone here is connected to, you know, non-veteran specific agencies especially, we want to support this. And so Mitzi Huff at the Child Guidance Center, part of Strong Families, Strong Children, is a great contact for that. I can certainly make that connection. I'll put her contact in the chat when I'm done. So I think that's just good to have on the radar. And yeah, I think that's it for me.
Thank you, Ben. Sounds like we have some singing going on in the background. So,
oh goodness.
Happy home.
A lot cooking here.
Happy home. Fantastic. Okay. Well, thanks. It looks like Ms. Bidwell, are you ready?
Yes. Hi, good morning.
Oh, I've got two Julia Bidwells and I don't know which one's which. So we've got Julia Bidwell. We're going to go ahead and move into item five. We've got Julia Bidwell and Maria Vu. Maybe Jenna can rename Maria. There we go. Thank you. All right. They are from the Orange County Housing and Community Development and Housing Authority Administrative Manager, Orange County Veterans Advisory or Affairs Support, Bash. We all know Bash. The floor is yours.
Great. And I believe, Erica, I'm just going to share my screen here for the presentation. So let's, everybody's fingers crossed. Hopefully you can see that now.
It's in presentation, or you need to put it in presentation mode, I think.
We'll do.
There we go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you for inviting us. I'm Julia Bidwell. I'm the Director of Housing and Community Development. And Marie Vu is the manager of the Orange County Housing Authority. We were invited today to give you an overview of what we're doing with the Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Program within our Orange County Housing Authority. Most of you are familiar with this, so we'll just cover some of the basics, the collaborations, obviously, with the VA Long Beach Medical Center and the Orange County Housing Authority. And this is coming through the Department of Housing and Urban Development, where we get the allocation of these, what we call HUD-VASH vouchers. They're to provide permanent housing subsidies. They can be both tenant-based, meaning the individual gets the rent subsidy, and then they find a market rate unit to lease. And they can also be project-based, and we'll get into that. You may wonder where I am right now with my video. I'm at Placentia Veterans Village. We'll get to that. It's one of our newly constructed project-based VASH projects. So the requirements on this, tenants pay about 30% of their income for rent. It's a rent subsidy, and OCHA pays the balance. The requirements. You're required to be homeless, eligible for VA health care, must have an honorable discharge, agree to participate in VA case management, and you cannot exceed the income limit. Right now, the median income for a single individual is $47,100 in Orange County, and you cannot be on the lifetime sex offender registry. So those are the must eligibility requirements. The process, it all starts with the VA Long Beach. This is where we get our referrals. They will screen the veterans for that eligibility list that you just saw, connect them to VA case manager, who's gonna work through the coordinated entry system. So for homeless individuals in Orange County, all of our referrals ultimately come from the coordinated entry system, which is where outreach providers, the VA of a homeless individual, and they prioritize them by length of homelessness and what they call chronicity, disabling or other conditions. So the VA case manager works with the coordinated entry system, and then that's how the referral comes to OCHA for the eligible veteran for the VASH voucher. On OCHA's side, then we take that, we interview, we determine their income eligibility, and then we ultimately issue the tenant-based
Diana.
Oh, sorry, was there a question? Okay. So housing search and navigation, this is really important. In recent years, we've developed a partnership with OC United Way. You may be familiar with their Welcome Home OC program. Initially, the County Board of Supervisors provided seed money, $250,000 in an initial contract, and we worked with United Way on the initial Welcome Home program OC. We were happy to see them get state funding allocations specifically for veterans that are connected with Orange County to provide housing navigation. And this is housing search, getting individuals to appointments to look at an opportunity for housing. And then the assistance also includes security deposits, moving costs, refrigerator, and then other landlord incentives that help us get access to units for individuals with tenant-based vouchers. So right now on the, I mentioned there's tenant-based and project-based vouchers. A project-based voucher is exactly that. There's a development, whether it's a newly acquired property or whether it's a ground up new construction development, we can project base the vouchers, which mean they stay with the project. When an individual moves in, they are eligible to stay there and they're eligible for the rental subsidy. When they move, they still have a voucher, but then a voucher also stays with that project to pay for the rent at that project. So we enter into assistance contracts with developers and owners for these project-based units. To date, some of you may be familiar with some of our project-based veterans housing. We have Potter's Lane, which is located in Midway City, Placentia Veterans Village, and a newly constructed Salerno in Irvine. I'll show you some pictures in a second. We also have in tenant selection process, Buena Esperanza in Anaheim. And so some of these are 100% veterans and some of these are just a component of the units are veterans. And then we also have Fountain Valley Housing, which has inclusive of VASH project-based housing. So here are some beautiful pictures. This is representative of the type of affordable housing that's built in Orange County. By the way, I've been here for 21 years doing affordable housing in the county. It's really exciting to see all these new developments now. This is Potter's Lane. Again, it's fully leased. It's a smaller project. It has 8 VASH units, but this is a entirely a veterans development. Newport Shores in Newport Beach. This one's a little bit older. It was actually a rehab instead of a new construction. Very nice, great location. This has a component of VASH vouchers in a larger senior housing development. Placentia Veterans Village, one of our newly constructed, 100%, 49 VASH units. It's what my background is here on the Zoom. The city even renamed the street. They renamed the number to 1945 and they renamed the entire street to Veterans Way. Salerno, this is our we're just final leasing on this one, doing the final leasing on the units, the 15 VASH units. And this is in Irvine. So in total, we've received an allocation of 989 VASH vouchers. And you could see the compilation of project-based there was a special allocation of project-based vouchers that we used as well. We're assisting 710 veteran households. In addition to our housing authority, Anaheim Housing Authority and Santa Ana Housing Authority have received allocation of VASH vouchers. We're only one of four housing authorities. Garden Grove is the other housing authority in Orange County. So that's our presentation. We heard you might have some questions. That's
sure.
He is here. You always know that a good leader has the person who's the implementer. That's Marie. So I'll hand it back over to you.
She would be what we call in the Marine Corps a chief warrant officer. Okay, fantastic. So quick question. I don't know if either one of you can answer this. And I know it's kind of like one of those crystal ball questions, but we're helping 710 families. Do we have an estimation of how many that are out there? How many might be slipping through the cracks?
Go
ahead, Marie.
The coordinated system and also working with Volunteer of America, all of this group, they meet regularly and they do outreach. And my understanding is they refer as they receive. So I think right now is pretty good. I mean, a couple of years ago, it's been like the list at one time is like to 800 name, but I think they call it by name list of the VA registry. So they kind of, I think right now it seems like the folks who are eligible for VASH, remember, not all veterans are eligible.
Right, they don't meet those requirements.
So those that are eligible, that seems to have either a tenant-based or project-based options that they can, you know, they can, because if the VA will determine if someone that need more support services, they may want to send them to a project-based unit first, but it's still the tenant choice. I mean, the client choice. If they say, oh, I don't want to live in this project, I want a tenant-based voucher so I can move anywhere I want. So that's still their choice. And so the folks that you probably remain on the list more likely under the folks that who are either auto discharge or there's no, you know, so are not eligible for VA healthcare, because that is the part that the VA will have to determine. But the VA also have other program. They have other funding per diem program or the SSVF fund that they can help something more out of temporary than the permanent solution. But yes, I guess the short answer is that I think the list is, there's still some gap, but I think the gap is much smaller than a couple of years ago.
Okay. You got Stephanie?
So I think this is probably Marie, but Julia, feel free to jump in. You know, we had a presentation recently from somebody from the collaborative who is chair of the housing group. And one of the points they made is that a lot of the smaller groups, especially the nonprofits, have difficulty accessing the new coordinated entry system. Is there some way, you know, I understand the coordinated entry system, a lot of work was put into it and it works well, but is there some way of making, you know, some sort of secondary pipeline for smaller groups? Say, you know, I know a big one is the Newport Beach chapter of the American Legion has, you know, significantly benefits a lot of veterans in housing, but they don't have a way to you know, enter information and make referrals through coordinated entry.
The last slide of our presentation have the contact information of the VA. Actually, is the VA is the main refer to the housing authority. So the VA just agreed to work with the coin entry for the veterans registry, but the refer is going to be directly from the VA. So OCHA, we can get refer from the coin entry, but we will also take refer from the VA, because the coin entry veteran registry is only for veteran that homeless in Orange County. But the VA can send us the veteran from Long Beach, a veteran from whoever, because the way the HUDs look and the VA department look is, as long as the veteran expressed that they want to live in Orange County, the VA can refer them to us, and we can offer the, you know, if they're eligible, we can give them the voucher. Because remember, the our VA is medical, they locate in Long Beach. So there's not in Orange County. So yeah, if they refer someone to us, we will take it. It's just that the support services, like you mentioned, Julia mentioned on United Way, that housing navigation, that is only offered for veteran that homeless in Orange County. So that's a distinguish, but the referral, they can still come. So if that group that you mentioned, the best way for them to reach out to the VA directly, and they will be assessed, and then they can send over to us.
So that the 844 numbers, and that would be useful for, you know, a congressional office or for an American Legion post, refer directly through that number.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That's very helpful.
Yeah, this office is in Santa Ana, but they can contact the VA yeah. Long Beach as well. If they're familiar or they live close there, or they can do that as well. This office just happened to be in Orange, you know, in Santa Ana, so it's closer to us.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much, Maureen.
Are there any other questions? All right, well, thank you for that presentation today. We greatly appreciate it. One last question, any way we can get our hands on this PowerPoint, maybe as a PDF document or something for our records that we can refer to? Is that an option?
I'm gonna say yes, and I know that Erica and Jenna have it, so however they get you stuff, they can send it to you.
Sure, we'll send it out, thank you.
Thanks so much, all right. We'll go ahead and move on. Thank you so much for being here today. We greatly appreciate that. We'll go ahead and move on to item 10, OC for Vets update, Kevin Alexander.
Thank you, Eric, appreciate it. Not a lot has changed over the past month for behavioral health services. We've been very, very active in engaging with the veteran community, doing lots of outreach. All of our programs for veterans and veterans families have been engaging with veterans either in person or virtually, and most of the programs have some combination. We do have, in terms of staffing updates, two new peers within our OC for Vets program. We have a new lead peer, who is doing a fantastic job taking on and supporting that peer team here at OC for Vets. And then we have another new peer, Renee, who just started a few weeks ago and is still transitioning in, but she's adjusting. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, behavioral health services, we're seeing lots of a significant increase in severe clinical presentations and veterans who need a lot of hand-holding, a lot of support, a lot of active engagement. We've had a lot of calls from the community asking us to go out into the community and engage with veterans who are at risk or presenting with some type of behavioral health concern. Stephanie, your question related to housing and accessing housing through, for our veterans here in Orange County. There are a lot of barriers that our veterans and military families run into when they're looking to access housing resources and enter into, the CES system and really connect in an effective way to those resources. What I would encourage is actually when you run into a veteran in the community or a family in the community who needs housing support, refer them over to OC for Vets. Get them to us. We will support them in accessing whatever resource is most appropriate for them. If they're looking at family resources, we have access to the family system. If they're looking at individual resources, we're going to evaluate whether they meet criteria for the VASH resources or other resources may be more appropriate. We also have more immediate and readily available resources that aren't available through the other systems. As an example, we had a veteran referred over to us this past week, homeless out on the streets in Huntington Beach, presenting with symptoms of psychosis, some paranoia, delusions, really struggling with independently accessing resources. We go out, we engage with the veteran. Initially, he is hesitant, anxious, resistant to engage. So we build rapport, make contact, let him know who we are, really show he can trust us. We disengaged, he wasn't ready for support yet. He called us a week later asking for support. I'm ready to access resources. At that point, we were able to put him up in a hotel for a short period of time while we worked on accessing other resources. We're getting up into villages of Cabrillo and the GPD so that we can have that transitional resource in place while we work on maybe Hadvash or other resources that he would qualify for. So we're gonna look at a wide range of resources and not just the Hadvash resources. So I'd really encourage anyone running into those situations, send them our way. We're going to evaluate what they need, what resources they need, and we're going to get them to the right place, and we're not going to leave them alone to do it. So we're not going to give them a phone number and say, here, call. We're going to be with them through the process, making sure that all the documents, all the resources they need to access those services are collected and readily available to get where they need to go. So I pull us in, we're here, even though we identify as behavioral health services. Our homeless community, our veteran community presents with a lot of diverse need. And we are very flexible in our definition of behavioral health needs. So there's mild, moderate, severe needs on behavioral health services. Whatever that is, we're gonna support. And really, regardless of discharge status, regardless of era of service, regardless of the situation, heck, even if they end up not being a veteran, we're going to step in, we're going to support, and we're going to get any person that presents with need in our community to where they need to go.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Kevin.
And I know can I ask one, by the way, that was fantastic, but I wanted to ask Kevin one follow-up question. Who is the referral source for the Huntington Beach veteran?
That came in from HBPD.
Good to know. Thank you. Just one comment also about Kevin and OC for Vets. I don't know how many referrals I've sent to you, Kevin, but I've sent a lot and every single one of them is handled. So greatly appreciate your efforts. We love our Cal Vet. We love our OC for Vets and Orange County Veterans Service Office. So we're just very grateful for that. And I get a lot of that from veterans in the county. I know you don't hear it at these meetings very much. Sometimes you get a little beat up, but there's a lot of people out there whose lives you are positively impacting. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Eric.
We'll go ahead and move on to item 11, standing committees, communication report. That'd be Alex. You got anything for communications?
No, sir.
Okay. How about events and outreach? Ooh, we don't have Vlad or Mario. So we'll move on to council comments. So at this time, do we have any comments from the council? All right, Stephanie.
I just wanted to say how pleasing it is to see all the new resources come into the VSO, but I did want on a slightly discordant note, I wanted to just relate a phone call I recently got. We could talk about it another time. I know I'm gonna see Elena at some point, but I received a phone call from a veteran named Devin. I tried to call him back, but we did talk for a few minutes. He was upset because he had driven to the VSO, not realizing it was on appointment only. And so he arrived at the VSO. He found another veteran, an older gentleman who was in his 90s. He said a World War II vet. What they found at the office, was a sign explaining that it was by appointment. And giving a number. And they called the number, and then they were very frustrated because the person that answered the phone said they couldn't give them an appointment. So I don't know all the details. I tried to call the veteran back, but I did say, I referred him to Elena. I just wanted to relate, maybe there's something we can do with signage, just, at least until we do finally open up. Maybe it's an issue that's going to be handled with, the two new hires you're bringing on to handle things at the call center. But on some level, there was a level of frustration and confusion that I don't think was intentional, but it was making it harder for people to access the service. And I know that's not what any of us want.
I can speak to that a little bit, Erica. And Stephanie, thank you for bringing it up. I certainly have heard about some of this confusion in the past and have been trying to explain to folks as much as possible that the best way to request an appointment is through email. Since that time, we did update the website. So I think the information was on the website before, but it was kind of hidden under the benefits page. So our website guru was able to pull it up to the front. And if you go onto the OCBSO website now, it's the first note that's on there instructing folks on how to request an appointment. And so I think we're just a few weeks out from some solutions that are really going to help with those onesies and twosies that are still encountering some, confusing scenarios. But in the interim, I just had a meeting with our call center yesterday, actually, so this is kind of timely. And we came up with, it was actually already in place where they had instructions on if a veteran shows up to the building, how to handle those. You guys know that Eric is transitioning out. So some of those messages were going to him. And again, we're talking like one or two messages might have fallen between the cracks. And so we had that meeting yesterday, just giving the call center an update to go ahead and forward those to me. We actually just got one right now while we're in the meeting. And so we have a system now where as folks come up to the building, the call center knows to notify me directly via chat. And then I have a whole team chat set up. So whoever's in the building, which we always have at least one person, even right now during lunch hours, to respond. So Jessica Castro, one of our senior claims reps, was able to go outside and respond to that. I would say the most time that it takes is about 5 minutes to have someone out there to really just clarify the confusion. Sometimes we tell folks that their appointment is by phone, we send them an email, but there's still confusion and we understand that and we wanna meet the veteran where they are. But as I said, if you hear anything about those, please feel free to send them to me. I'd be happy to reach out and apologize to the veteran directly. I'd be happy to reschedule them, for a kind of quicker appointment if we can fit them in. And then stay tuned because we're really working on some stuff to try to continue to improve. As I said, we're catching the majority of our population who wants to get an appointment, but there is some confusion for folks. And so we want to make sure to try to resolve that in the upcoming weeks as much as possible.
We appreciate that. Anything else, Stephanie? Alexis? Alexander? Bobby?
Yes, sir. I want to say thanks for your explanation, Ms. Erica. However, the explanation you presented is not in our bylaws. As a matter of record, this is not personal. However, it is not in the bylaws. When was it determined that the county council can arbitrarily make changes in the bylaws because the changes are not in our bylaws? Whoever took this request question to our county council had no reason to do so with no permission or authority. That is how we lose the validity and credibility of this committee. And you just can't turn to the county council with the question in search of an answer that's favorable. It is up to us and on us to educate ourselves on the bylaws, ensure the enforcement to uphold the credibility of this organization and our fulfillment to the commitment to the Board of Supervisors and to our veterans. Again, in the OCVAC bylaws, there isn't anything that mentions the immediate past chair's position to be vacated or transferred. If this decision is arbitrarily upheld, it puts us in direct non-compliance of our bylaws. The bylaws are specific, delineated, and spelled out concisely. Any amendments to the bylaws need to go through the standard process of being changed. That's my comment.
Thank you for that, Bobby. Erica, can we get a copy of the bylaws sent out to all of our council members? Thank you. Thank you for that, Bobby. Alex? That's Alex Maslin. Do you have any comments?
No, sir.
All right. Well, thanks. I will take the last comment and just quick note. So Coffee Talk was moved to 8:30. All right. So all future Coffee Talks will be meeting at 8:30 this month. The theme is Remembering the Fallen. So the 26th is a poignant date for me. That's the date that my friend Rick Crocker was killed in Haditha, Iraq. Rick was a major in the Marine Corps Reserve. He was also a full-time police officer in Santa Monica PD. He was a member, a valuable member of his community. So I'll share a little bit about Rick on that Wednesday. If you know veterans and they want to share, if they're in a place where they can share, please invite them into the Coffee Talk. We're going to say good things about people who gave the last full measure. And of course, it's welcome to all, anybody who wants to come in and share anything on that morning, but it'll be from 8:30 to 9:30. So just note the time change. I think that'll be better. We had a lot of folks that were getting kids set up for school or dropping kids off. And, you know, people talk, we listen. So we changed the time. And lastly, on a private note, obviously I've got this up here. My youngest is now officially United States Marine, which it changes, right? Hoorah. It changes. Changed since I went to boot camp. We weren't Marines. They didn't stop calling us maggots and recruits until the day we marched on that parade deck at MCRD San Diego. Whereas the exception now is that once they pass the arduous test, that is the crucible, and it's a real gut punch, then they are then bequeathed the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, the beloved emblem of our Corps. And so I'm beyond proud, and I don't have a whole lot of words, because if I start speaking too long, you'll start seeing a grown man cry. So just super excited. We get to see him next Thursday, which he'll graduate. COVID graduations are now open, but it's 2 tickets per recruit. So Mama and Dada will be there. Big sibling will not, unfortunately, but she's okay with that. She'll give him a noogie when he gets home for the first time he's on leave, and I'm sure they'll reconnect. But very exciting time for our family. So thanks to anyone who was a friend of mine on Facebook. We did have a prayer vigil for all of the young men of Echo Company. 24 hours a day for 3 straight days. We had some prayer warrior praying for those young men as they go through that arduous test, and they all came out on the other end. So fantastic for our country and our Corps, and obviously for our family. With that, I have nothing further. Thanks to everyone for showing up on time and making it today. And we had some great information passed on to us today. With just about every one of our visitors, I don't know if you noticed the chat, but I'm copying and pasting links to those websites. Not only do they become matter of record, but there's something for you folks out there who are tech savvy and have 2 screens that you can actually take a look at those things. And so one comment I did have for Elena and the office is, while that is a note that seems prominent, it says note right there and I'm reading it, the text is kind of small and I don't know what it looks like on a phone. I didn't take a chance to look at it, but and it is there. We check all the boxes, but if we can make that a little more noticeable, that would be fantastic. So, and that's all I have. Thank you all. Great meeting. We'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you. Have a great, great day. Hope to see a bunch of you on Coffee Talk where we remember the fallen.
Thank you. Thank you to the staff for everything. Appreciate it.
Thank you.